not a silent saint. John 3:16. Let's say this together. Would you say this with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Christmas event has happened. Baby's been born. What does it mean? What does Christmas mean? We've been looking at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. Because Mary had the best view of Christmas. She had that unique perspective. A front and center role that no one else had. So we've been asking, what does Christmas mean for Mary? So that we can get a sense, a new sense, what Christmas can mean for us. Discover that new in a new way. This past Wednesday, we were gathered here late at night. At midnight, that traditional time when Mary gave birth to Jesus, we lit the Christmas candle. We all got up and we formed a circle around the sanctuary here. And we took the light from the Christ candle, the light of Jesus, symbolizing that. We passed it around the room to each of our candles. We all stood in a circle with this light shared around, and we sang Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. We've been doing that now for almost 200 years. For that song was first written for a Christmas Eve service back in 1816. And the guy who sang it, and the guy next to him played guitar, sang it as they lit the candles around the Christmas Eve service in Austria. That scene, that song and that scene, or that the worship experience, creates a song picture, doesn't it? What was it like that first Christmas? Well, according to the carol, it was a soft, silent night. Idyllic, serene, peaceful, perfect. All is calm. All is bright. Oh, that first Christmas must have been so peaceful. Others have painted pictures in their carols too, like that. Away in a manger, right? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing. The poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. It's perfect. It's silent. It's the way Christmas is supposed to be. Right? Well, tell me, how many of your Christmases were like that? Did you have a quiet, perfect, serene Christmas? My guess is that you didn't. We have this picture of how Christmas is supposed to be and what it's supposed to be like. And then we have the reality of our own Christmases. Filled with noise and frantic running around and hectic schedules and last minute wrapping and cooking and plans going awry. Going to plan C and D and E. And being with people that you don't otherwise choose to be around. Our Christmases are messy, stressful, and chaotic. And we measure our reality with the way we think it's supposed to be. And we feel like something's wrong with our Christmas. Two-thirds of women, this is a poll taken three years ago now, two-thirds of women in America feel depressed over Christmas. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And we can't do that with the whole rest of our lives, actually, don't we? We constantly compare our realities of stress, of chaos, of things going wrong, and all the ways that we fail, with the idyllic image of how things ought to be. It should be so much better. Our lives should be perfect. Why is it the way it is? Because something's wrong. And so we get depressed, frustrated with our lives. But really, I ask you, was it a silent night? We've been discovering, looking through Mary's eyes, it was far from that silent night. When we look a little bit closer, all the nostalgic images of that first Christmas painted by these picture carols quickly fade away. And the mess of reality comes through. Imagine being 9 months pregnant and then told you have to walk 90 miles to a strange place with no one you know around. At best, on a donkey ride. But the Bible doesn't talk about a donkey. This is, again, a scene painted by our wonderful carol writers. They're probably walking, actually. Unless someone gave them a donkey, maybe. Mary knew that she was going to have her baby on this journey. They're in a strange place with nobody they knew around. They didn't even have their midwife along. What if the baby happened on day two of the journey? No painkillers. Having a baby was very dangerous at home, let alone on a journey to Bethlehem. And this is how she was going to be having her baby? This special baby? You know, this is way different than what we expect for our own birth experiences, isn't it? Today, we have come to expect only the best from our birth experiences. We want to be very clean, very safe, very perfect. You know, when I was born in a room something like this, a regular hospital room. When my kids were born, there was a special wing of the hospital, a maternity ward. Some of the nice perks, like our own private room. A chair for the dad to sleep in. And a gift certificate from a local hotel giving us a free overnight stay. We were impressed. But you know, it's come a long way in those 12 years. Hospitals have been in vicious competition to attract expectant mothers to come and use their facility. I went surfing to see what area hospitals were offering to attract potential mothers. Okay, birthing suites, birthing tubs, lounges for extended family members, free Wi-Fi, free meals for the dad, postnatal body therapy, free baby portraits. Then in the next metro area over, I found a winner. This is from their website. Listen to this. Each room feels far more like a resort spa than a hospital room. Relax in the whirlpool tub. Stretch out in a queen-size bed. Room for your partner to share if you wish. Admire your newborn sleeping nearby in the in-room crib. Enjoy the attention of nurses who pamper the entire family. Did you know that nurses sign up for that? And then fire family, pop in your favorite CD in the entertainment center and indulge in our fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. Dang, I think I want to have a baby. Wow, that's great. What an experience. Luke describes Mary's delivery experience very differently. Compare Luke's version to what you just heard what this hospital was offering.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. But Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
So where is the in-room spa? Mary's delivery room experience? She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Notice, too, it doesn't even say stable. It's another one of those picture images our carolers write. It probably was more likely to be the livery behind the inn. You know, where the travelers kept their animals they traveled on? That would mean no barn animals there. No sheep, no cows. It'd be more like a first century equivalent to a parking lot, a parking deck. See the song pictures the carolers create for us? But when you look at the text, it was not a silent night. Just ask anybody who's given birth naturally. It was not silent. Actually, let's do that. Let's ask those here, you've given birth naturally, could you please describe your experience a bit? So in groups, I'm going to ask you to huddle up in groups around you. Find someone who's given birth naturally nearby. We're going to ask you about your experience. I want to ask you these two questions. What does it feel like to give birth? Because some of us don't know. And then, what were some of the noises during the birthing process? All right? So go find someone, find some brave soul who's given birth naturally nearby and ask him these two questions. What does it feel like to give birth? What were some of the noises during the birth process? Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. I'm going to come check this out. Did you birth naturally? Pardon? So she was, both of hers were cesarean. She's out. So, good stuff. So you were in labor, dogs, at that time. So what does it feel like to give birth? How do you describe that feeling? It hurts. How? Is that the only pain you've had? That's sad. Huh. You get through it. How about some of the noises? Were you in the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, coming and going. This is actually a good thing. Bring it back around, really? Oh, wow. What do you think, Greg? Oh, Bill Cosby, you did this to me. You're the bad guy. Good. All right. Having a baby is not silent. Mary was miserable. Anybody here have a pleasant birth experience? You did? Yes, you were out, I bet. My wife was unconscious the whole time, both times. That's right. Okay, time for some life application here. If this is how it was for Mary, the most blessed of all women, who was carrying God's Son to give birth to a child, an event that would change all of history and bring about the intention of salvation God had been planning for thousands of years, why do you think that your life is going to be any easier? Right? Life is just hard. There are times when it's absolutely miserable. It doesn't go as planned. Just like in birthing process, bad and good come together. Pain and blessing come together. God has a plan, though, for all of this mixture of good and bad, pain and blessing. Isaiah 9:2 admits, people have walked in darkness. People who are walking in darkness, and they're in a land of deep darkness. But the Christmas message is that in the moments of pain and despair, God is doing the greatest thing in Mary's life. God works in adversity, in pain, to bring about a new future. This is the Christmas message. If life were perfect and easy, there would be no need for a Savior. There would be no need for Christmas. But the Christmas message is that in spite of the misery and pain of life, the pain and failure of life, there is a God who cares enough to come personally, show up to do something about it. The Christmas message is that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. John 1:5 says about Christmas, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome by it. Like I said, this is why Christmas is on December 25th. It's not actually Jesus' birthday. We don't really know when that was. But the church chose this date, this celebration, on purpose because it, in the physical world, was demonstrating what the purpose and meaning of Christmas was all about happening spiritually. That just as the winter solstice marked the change from the coming of darkness being switched to the coming of light, and how the light now pushes back away the darkness, how the darkness now recedes. This is what Jesus came for to do. What Jesus came, what his coming was all about. Mary knew that her baby changed everything. But it didn't stop her having from pain and troubles. Actually, his birth created a lot more pain and trouble for her in her life. See, Jesus doesn't come to take all of our cares away. He doesn't come to make our lives easy and perfect. He doesn't come to pay all my bills and to give me all the presents I want, to protect me from danger and harm, to make life smooth. Christians follow this Jesus because we believe that in his life, teaching, death, and resurrection, he shows us the truth. He shows us what it means to be authentically human. He shows us who we are and who God is. The gifts that Jesus gives us don't make our lives easier, like some gadget in the kitchen. We all want to slice bagels without the effort of taking a knife and doing this. I have a problem with those kind of gadgets. Just use a knife. It's already there. Anyway. His gifts don't come under a tree. They don't come to make life simpler, easier, less work, less painful. His gifts come as a way to unleash the fullness of what God intends our lives to be. How, with God, we then have the ability to have joy in the pain. How to have a new future from what we are experiencing now. A hope that sustains us and carries us through it all. Let's take a brief look at some of these unwrapped presents that we get at Christmas. We see what Mary saw the presents to be at Christmas that she received and that Jesus brings. We don't find them under a tree. We find them in our hearts when we invite Jesus to live there. Number one, Jesus came to give us a new way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christians, right from the beginning, were known to be followers of the way. Christians were first called, they weren't called Christians at first. In the book of Acts, they're not called Christians. They're called followers of the way. You see, because they were living a radically different way. In the same world, same problems, same troubles, but a different way. The angels proclaimed, to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. See, as a Lord directs your way. A Lord tells you how to do what you're going to do and when to do it. So as a Lord, we proclaim and pledge to follow this way. The world promotes self-indulgence. This way, Jesus promotes self-denial. The world tells us to promote our own glory. Jesus tells us to promote the glory of God. The world tells us greatness comes in others focused on us. Jesus' greatness comes in us focusing on others. The world tells us to accumulate riches. Jesus' way tells us that our riches do not consist in our possessions. The world tells us to demand justice. Jesus' way says to demonstrate mercy. The world tells us to be served. Jesus tells us to serve. And when we do, we are then blessed. This is true, isn't it? We can relate to this. We get this. We feel that inner joy when we live differently. When we stop and help those around us. When we serve. When we do good for others. It releases God's joy in us. We've experienced that. Ask anyone who's ever been on a mission trip. Yes, we did good, but the true blessing comes in what it did for me. We found that we were the ones blessed when we went. I follow Jesus because I want to live a different way. For 2015, I want to live a different way, His way. Second gift, God's love placed in our hearts. God sent Jesus, His only Son, because of God's great love for us. Christmas is about God's love. God is the first present giver. And I learned more about God's love when I became a father in that hospital room than I learned in all my training at seminary. The story of the prodigal son that Jesus told became real to me. I would do that for my son. I would. I know I would. I know what that feels like. I would willingly lay down my life for my kid. I wouldn't have to think about it. I love my kids. It's not a matter of my head thinking through, is this a smart thing to do or not? It's a matter of my heart, without thought. God loves like this. I follow Jesus because in Him I see this real love of God. Third way, third gift, mercy, forgiveness. The angel told Joseph to give the baby the name Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua. It means God saves. That's Jesus' name. Jesus' name is God saves. Every time anyone ever called out to Jesus, they're calling out, hey, God saves. Hey, God saves, could you come here? Hey, God saves, could you come over here? You are to give him the name Jesus, said the angel, because he will save his people from their sins. I know that I need saving. When I'm honest with myself about myself, I know that I can't cut it. No matter how hard I try, there's a darkness within me that I cannot fix on my own. I need to be saved from my sins. I follow Jesus because I really need God's mercy. And the fourth gift that we celebrate receiving at Christmas, that Mary saw, is hope, even in the darkest of places. One of my pastor friends, he's now a district superintendent, Mark Miller, once preached that the only God he would serve is one who walks with you into the emergency room. His daughter had suffered a terrible accident. As he paced the emergency room floor back and forth, wondering if she were going to live or die, he clung to God. He said, "Your God isn't real unless he goes with you into the emergency room." For he needed a God who would bring light into his darkness. Not some divine, happy guy that helps you once in a while. No, he needed a God who would walk with you into the darkest of moments of your life. He needed a God who was there, the worst things, promising to bring about something new, something different. He needed his little girl to either be physically healed or to be taken someplace more glorious. And only his God could do that. Pastor Mark's God was with him in the emergency room. The God of Christmas shows up in the darkness, in the despair, in the pain, to do something about it. I follow Jesus because he is the only one who pierces my darkness with light. Mary, that first Christmas, amid all the noise and pain and darkness, experienced a miracle. She did experience, actually, a silent night. As she held her baby and gazed into his tiny face, all the mess, all the pain, all the chaos faded away. She received what really mattered. In her heart, as she made room for this baby, a peaceful silence took over. And all was calm. All was bright in the midst of the chaos, for her life was changed. She was still next to a manger in a strange place without her family around. There was still all kinds of trouble in her life. There was a king who wanted her baby dead. But that night, she received all that God gave at Christmas. A new way. God's love. Mercy. And true hope. It's for you. Don't miss out on Christmas. There's still time. In your noise, in your darkness, in your pain, Jesus is born. I want you to have it. There's still this present yet for you. After all the other presents have been opened, the real one's still here. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to have it. So we're going to pray. As we pray, if you want this present in your life, if you want to say yes to this Jesus, to all that Jesus brings into your life, you can say this prayer of receiving this present with me. Say it under your breath. Say it. So let's pray together. Yes, Jesus. I trust you with my life. I want to follow you. I accept your love for me. Forgive me, I pray. Help me to trust in your hope and to honor you in all that I do. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.